Welcome to episode 96 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. Today, we are going to do some more color symbolism stuff.
Yes, which we've done a little bit before, yeah.
I think we just did yellow. That's the only one I could remember.
I think so. I think that's right.
And today, we're going to do blue and green.
Yes, good colors. I mean, they're all good colors, I guess, but whatever.
I love colors. So how was your week?
Week was pretty good. So I guess we had Halloween. So I went to your house to see you and Dad and the little sisters and had some good Halloween food and good Halloween drinks and all that jazz. And then on Halloween itself, I went to a friend's house and we had a little party there and handed out candy to kids walking around the neighborhood. So that was fun.
That is fun. We didn't get a single trick-or-treater.
Oh, boo. We got like three or four or so.
Okay.
We got a few of them.
Okay.
And then let's see, I think that's about it. It's now November and I know I'm sure we're both going to talk a little bit about NaNoWriMo, but I did, my goal this month is 1,000 words a day. And I went a little crazy today and did 1699. So
nice. Oh, all right. That's good. Yeah. My week, I don't remember last week, but the weekend was fun with the party and the food and all that good stuff. And then I'm in chaos court this whole week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a headache, but
fair.
I also wrote today for NaNoWriMo. I wrote about 1496 words, which is amazing because I was in court. So
yeah,
I was able to get some done in there. So
that's awesome.
I'm so excited about this book. It's coming.
Yeah. So. Congrats. I know it's been a very long time since you've actually had time to sit down and write. And obviously you didn't have too much time to sit down and write today, but like, that's
yeah. And I've realized it's definitely a skill that you need to work on. And I'm a little rusty, so I'm not super happy with some of it. Some of it, I like the foreshadowing bit. I was like, oh, that's so clever. I was so proud. And then
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then some of it, I'm like, that's not a good sentence, but I couldn't figure out how to redo it. So I just left it, which is, that's the point of NaNoWriMo. We're not making the great American novel in November of, 2021.
Right.
Your sand in the sandbox analogy is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I did the same thing. You know, I have sentences that I wrote today where I was like, well, I don't care. I'll come back. And I'm planning to rewrite this book anyway. So I might as well just get the story down so that I can rewrite it better later. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's definitely a good, habit to remind yourself of that as you're writing.
I'm so excited. It's been so long since I've written.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
Good.
And very now good. She's absolutely talking to me now. And I think she's hilarious.
They get annoying though, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're in court and you don't have time to listen to her talk.
Yes. Yes.
So I have jokes.
Oh, yes. Hit me with some jokes.
So
wait.
What did we
what
forget?
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Bloody Mary.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And it's already half gone.
Listen, that bodes well for the episode.
Yeah. I have no idea what we're going to eat though.
Oh, fair enough.
It's right after work. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm drinking a tea with some almond milk, and that's pretty good. My brain needed a little boost me after writing so much today and doing work today, and I'm sure yours did too, which is why you're doing a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I needed something stronger than caffeine.
Fair enough. And then my girlfriend is still at work, so I'm not quite sure what we're going to do for dinner yet, but I did buy steaks, so probably that.
Wow, my mouth is watering.
I bought some New York strips. So,
wow, that sounds fabulous. Let's see, it's 45 minutes to your house. I'll be there shortly. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Come on.
Jokes.
Yes, jokes. Now, so jokes.
These are color jokes. So, what fruit always feels depressed?
Which one?
A blueberry.
Oh, because it's blue. Berry. I gotcha.
Jack is a lovable man with a colorful personality. He is a great Hugh man. Hugh man. I played paintball and shot a guy. He died D-Y-E-D on impact.
Yes, of course. Of course.
So yeah, those were a little bit lame, but
a little bit cheesy.
Cheesy, like yellow. Okay.
That. Oh, bless. That one was worse, but you know.
Okay. Start us off with color symbolism.
All right. Yeah. So like we said before, I think we've done an episode before, like at least one with the color yellow. But just to kind of reiterate what color symbolism is and like why we care about it. It's the concept of using color as a way to give readers an understanding of characters, places, events, ideas within a story, basically anything that you would want to get across a deeper meaning with, you could do by using color. Mm-hmm. So you can do this by using imagery and by adding colors into your scenes, it invokes different types of thoughts and feelings, essentially.
Yes. And so today we're doing blue and green, but if you want to listen to our yellow episode, it was mini episode 10, which we recorded on October 9th, 2020.
Wow. It's been a year, over a year since we did our episode. Yeah. Very nice.
So you can go check that out if you want to use yellow in your novel.
Yeah, that's awesome. So why would we care to use color symbolism in our story? Most people associate colors with certain emotions, like red for danger or warnings, like think of stop signs and yield signs and the red light and all that.
Yeah. I mean, vision is like one of our most important senses out of the five. We use our eyes to interact with the world around us every day. I mean, so unsurprisingly, colors reveal a vast universe of beauty and meaning that you can put into your books.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. It's a good way also to add like undertones or tone in general to your story without having to explicitly state it like, oh, you should be feeling sad right now. You know, you can use the color blue to make, you know, things a little bit more melancholy. Mm-hmm. You know, color is an essential tool in storytelling. You know, we use it all the time just in terms of what color was the shirt that he was wearing? What color was the house that you're walking into, what color was what color were the leaves on the trees? Like what, you know, that tells you what the setting is, what time of year it is, like that kind of thing.
And even with your character, you pick the color of their eyes and the color of their hair. All of those might mean something depending on what you're trying to get across.
Absolutely. Yeah. So color is a really, really good way of infusing meaning into your writing and creating a richer reader experience, like a great, experience for your readers as they're going through your story.
Yes, but you should be aware of social and cultural connections between colors and feelings. Like in China, the color of mourning is white, whereas, you know, here in the United States, it's black. So, you know, be aware of your audience for one thing, be aware of cultural meanings for another thing, you know.
So, yeah.
Basically, as writers, we can use colors to manipulate our readers. It is a fun and sometimes devious way to lead our readers without being super obvious.
Absolutely.
So, and any dab of color, however mundane, can add a splash of life to your description. So, like, think of throwing out the word copper. I mean, that just instantly evokes something within your reader.
Yeah, several things at once, actually, because even like, say you do use the color copper, that not only comes along with the color itself that you can envision, but, you know, the taste of copper, like that metallic taste and that kind of thing. It's kind of
the smell.
Yeah. Know, yeah.
Wet copper has a smell.
Definitely. So I think by using color, even if you're not trying to, you know, get across the taste of it, like your character's not tasting a piece of copper, maybe, you know, you can still get across those feelings that come along with it by using those other senses and knowing that copper does taste that way.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You can use colors to signal character personalities. You know, you might even associate a color with a particular character.
Definitely.
You know, I know I do.
Guilty. Yes. 100%. Yeah.
And then of course the mood or the scene or setting, like you said, the tone, the mood, colors will do that. Like the background of this Zoom is all fall colors. It's oranges and yellows, and it evokes that fall feeling.
Yes.
You know, so definitely you can use colors to get across all kinds of feelings and thoughts and evoke that in your reader.
And meanings. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we said earlier, I believe, that we're going to talk about two different colors. So green and blue. And I got most of the information that I found from a website called sensationalcolor.com. Okay. And it had a lot of really, really, really good information.
Okay.
So if you're interested in even other colors, which I'm sure we'll cover at some point, but if you want to know them now, go check out that website. Super good. Really enjoyed a lot of the information I got. So what do you think of when you see the word green? I'm going to start with green. And actually I'll go ahead and ask you, what do you think of?
I mean, all kinds of things, but envy, you know,
mm-hmm.
green-eyed monster, envious. I think The Wizard of Oz was the first book to ever have a witch be the color green.
Oh yeah. That's probably that's a good point.
Yeah. So there it is in literature. You know, using that color green to denote the Wicked Witch. I don't remember which one was the West and the East and all of that, but
yeah.
But yeah,
no, that's awesome. Yeah. I think of, you know, trees, plants, grass, growing things.
Yeah.
Nature. Yes. But I also think of, poison, radiation, you know, a lot of the buttons in World of Warcraft that deal with, demonic energy or evil energy is green.
Yeah. All the fell stuff is green.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, there are a few different things, you know, green, like every other color, can lead to different associations and thoughts and feelings depending on what setting it's used in.
Well, that makes me think, you know, for Jordan's birthday, we went to that haunted house and they had that glowing green goo.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And
you got a picture of it. You'll have to post that.
I will. It's a really good example of like green. Fluorescent green. Mm-hmm.
Being color. Toxic as opposed to, you know, life. Like we,
right.
You know, yeah.
Used as a spooky thing instead of a nice, refreshing, growing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, yeah, so like tailgating off of that. Couldn't think of the right word there. Think of how many different kinds. What are you laughing at?
I want to go tailgating. I'm ready to tailgate.
Listen. All right. But like, think of how many different kinds of greens there are. You know, you've got the Granny Smith apple, the lime green, forest green, neon green. Mm-hmm. There are just so many different shades of green that you can use throughout a story that can shape exactly what you want your reader to experience and feel mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah.
But so what does green typically mean? Like what does it really symbolize? So green stands for balance, nature, spring, rebirth. So that's kind of what I was talking about with like the trees and the leaves and the sprouting and, you know, the sprouting of flowers and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. When I think of that kind of green, the spring green, it's a lighter green.
Definitely.
You know, the baby plants that you see are a lighter green.
I always think of, and it's like one of my favorite colors is when you're sitting underneath a tree or something like that, and you look up and you can see the sun through a leaf.
Yes.
And it just like illuminates the whole leaf. That color green mm-hmm. is really spectacular. It's what I think of a lot.
Okay.
Green is also the symbol of prosperity, freshness, and progress, which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We associate green with vitality, fresh growth, and wealth, you know, because typically we think of, you know, in the US at least, our money is green.
I do think of money when I think of green. Yeah,
definitely. And if you look at all the emojis, again, especially in the US, they're all green dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all used with green ink, and they're, so green is more associated with wealth and money and prosperity. A lot of the time.
Okay.
We generally think of it as a balanced, healthy, and youthful color. And we use green in design for spaces intended to kind of promote creativity and productivity. And, you know, because we associate, think of the, I'm a little all over the place. Sorry, guys. But think of the phrase, you know, okay, that project has a green light, you know, oh, you're good to go. You're good to even green light, like real green lights, you know, you're okay, go, you're good to go.
That makes total sense. I mean, Jordan, daughter number three, your little or your second little sister, your
first little sister.
She is a designer. And so she's actually working on a commercial design right now for a company. It's a makeup company, but they wanted green spaces. They wanted places for their employees to be able to relax. And they did. They called them green spaces. And that's where their employees can go and relax to get away from the stress. Green is supposed to be a color that helps alleviate anxiety and depression and nervousness. And so she actually is designing true green space. She's using the color green, not just the connotation that goes with the word green, but she's actually putting plants and that kind of thing in these green spaces for these employees.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Green supposed to bring a sense of hope, health, adventure, renewal, like you said. It's also supposed to be self-control, compassion, and harmony, which I thought was interesting. Huh. I don't know that I've ever thought of green as being harmonious. I'd never really thought about it.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, to be fair, I'd never really thought of associating a color with harmony, other than maybe the rainbow, because all the colors blend.
Yeah, to me, harmony is like purple. I don't know. Purple to me. I don't know. But I did find a website that said too much green can cause people to become placid, lazy, slow, moody, depressed, and lethargic. And too little green can cause feelings of apathy and fear of rejection.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder how they did that scientific test to figure that out.
Who knows? Maybe I'm sure they did like a lot of color tests and rooms and
you probably
and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. They probably did experiments with people in green rooms and, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Or like maybe a house full of green, like the entire house is just green. How did they react to that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So while most of our associations with green are positive, like we just talked about, it has some negativities as well, which you mentioned with, you know, too much of it can be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who feels sick, you know, might look green around the gills, or you're looking a little green, like you might get sick.
Yeah.
And certain yellow, gray greens, which like I can just picture that.
I can
like,
too.
Has a distinctly unpleasant institutional feel to them. Like they're too, you know, not producing creativity, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then we also link green. You were talking about this one. This is what it made you think of, with envy and with greed, as in the phrase, green with envy.
Or the green-eyed monster. My dad always used to say, you know, because there were four of us. And so, you know, inevitably we would be jealous of each other. And my dad would always say, oh, the green-eyed monster's coming out.
So I want to say, I think he would always tell me, I think your eyes are looking a little green there.
Uh-huh.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. So it's the color of freshness, which we talked about. I think you said that one. It can also sometimes indicate the lack of experience, like greenhorn. Yeah, he's a greenhorn.
Oh, that's true. That's a really, like he's a little green, like give him some time, you know.
He's a little green. Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't even remember that until I did this research. And heraldry, like with a coat of arms.
Yeah.
It indicates growth and hope.
Okay.
Dark green is the one that's associated with money, greed, and jealousy. Although to me, light green is also greed and jealousy to me.
I don't know about light green. I guess I would say dark green over light green. But I also associate dark green with like, it's just a rich, like very nice, calming color.
Forest color. I love the dark green forest. The evergreens are dark green. That to me, that's a calming thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the yellow green, like you said, can be sickness, cowardice, or jealousy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Aqua, which I consider more blue than green, but it is blue green. They say is associated with healing and protection, which you think about it, think about the color of the Caribbean Sea.
Definitely. Yes.
That is one of the most beautiful colors in the whole world. We went to St. Thomas, your dad and I, for one of our anniversaries, and that color, that aqua color is absolutely
It's just so pleasant. Stunning. Yeah.
I was so relaxed out there on that island. It was wonderful.
Definitely.
And then olive green is the traditional color of peace. So like, think of the olive branch when people say, oh, I'm going to put forth the olive branch.
Yeah.
The color green of the olive is supposed to connotate peace.
I could see that.
And then another book reference in Lord of the Flies, green is used to represent innocence and immaturity. So the children on the island are innocent and they're also surrounded by that nature, which has all the greenery in it.
All the green. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
I also found that the green is actually the color of the heart chakra, also known as Anahata. I might be saying that wrong. Sorry about it. This chakra is located at the center of the chest area and is linked to the entire torso space, you know, like the heart, the lungs, the circulatory system, the cardiac plexus, all the important, you know, stuff that's like housed by your rib cage, essentially.
Okay. Okay.
So this heart chakra bridges the gap between the physical and spiritual worlds, and opening this chakra allows a person to love more, empathize, and feel compassion.
Interesting.
And so I know you had mentioned earlier that compassion was also one of the symbologies for green.
Is symbology a word?
I have no idea. Maybe.
Hey, symbolism. We're writers. We can make up words all we want.
It might be. It's wombology, wombo. Isn't that SpongeBob? See?
Okay. There you go.
But yeah, so what happens to your body in the presence of green? And I found these physical effects of, you know, what it actually does to the brain when you're looking at the color green and when you're around the color green. And I thought it was super cool because I am a scientist and I'm a neuroscientist. So super neat.
Okay.
But your pituitary gland is stimulated. So your muscles become more relaxed. Your blood histamine levels increase, which leads to a decrease in allergy symptoms and dilated blood vessels, aiding in smoother muscle contractions. How cool is that?
That is so cool.
Right? So green is calming and stress relieving and a bit paradoxically invigorating. It's been shown to improve reading ability and creativity. And do you remember when Jordan was struggling with her reading issues, they told her to put on green glasses.
Yeah, we actually started with green overlays.
Yeah.
She has a visual disability where she looks at a page and instead of seeing the words in horizontal lines, they're just jumbled all over the page. And so when we put a green overlay on the page, it helped her eyes see straight lines. And eventually, you know, you can't have overlays everywhere. So we got her glasses with tinted green because then she could be like a normal kid in class. She, you know, that stigma of being a disabled kid or whatever. And I mean, she had one doctor tell her she was dumb. Yeah. We went and had her tested for dyslexia because we knew there was something wrong visually. And he's like, oh, no, it's not dyslexia or anything. She's just not very bright. I was like, well, fuck you too.
Good grief.
I mean, she's super smart. All four of my kids are super smart.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we then had this tutor that was helping her. And she said that her son had this same visual disorder. And she said, green is the color
green
that helps that. And so that was what we did. And she's been fine ever since.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Which I think is just super cool that like colors can change that much and help that much and mean that much.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, so I suppose if you're writing a book and you want to use the color green, say your theme is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to incorporate green intentionally into the scenes to evoke that imagery all the way through your book.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, or maybe it's tied to one character. that's associated with that color, use that color in scenes with that character, which I think is really cool.
I think that's a really great way to be subtle about like making your reader, like you said earlier, manipulate your reader into thinking or having these tones just forced on them, essentially. Yeah,
because it is not obvious. I love that.
Right.
You know? And okay, so thinking of the character, if you want to show a character arc, change the colors used and associated with those scenes as the character changes. So maybe you're going from green to black, or from green to white, or you know, whatever color you're going from to, you can use colors in your descriptions in those scenes to lead your reader deviously into those changes. I think that's the coolest thing.
Absolutely. I think that's awesome. That's a really good point. And I feel like that would be something, you know, you can obviously keep it in mind as you're writing your first draft, but I feel like that's something to go back on revision.
I think so
and
too.
Add in, you know, oh, well, this color symbolizes this. And that's where they are at the beginning of their journey. So I'm going to use this color more towards the beginning of my novel.
Yeah, definitely.
As they change, now a new color might be more symbolic for them, and you can start using that color. That's awesome. That's a really good point.
You know, if you think of the rags to riches stories, you can start off with the browns and end up with the purples, you know, because
or the greens,
you know, royalty or money, like you said, green. So right. Yeah, it is so cool to think of and incorporating that into your scenes as the character arc changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a really good suggestion.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got on green, but next we have blue. So what do you think of when you see the word blue?
I usually think of water, and I don't know why, because water's actually clear. I mean, at least
a lot of the time
tap water's clear, but it makes me think of water.
Absolutely. Yeah. Water, cleanliness, the baby blue, blue skies. It also makes me think of rain, and I guess that's the water thing.
Yeah.
But it also makes me think of sadness. So, you know, there, again, there are many things that you can associate with this color blue. There are also like a ton of different shades. You're going to have that with every color, obviously, but like the dark blue, the sky blue, robin's egg blue, denim blue, so our clothes, electric blue, navy blue,
you know, that makes me think of an X-Files episode. It was called Cerulean Blue.
Oh.
And in that X-File episode, there was a person who had a tumor, actually, is what it turned out to be, that was causing their ability to do these things, but they could make someone see whatever they wanted them to see. And I remember they made this truck driver see cerulean blue, or so it blended in with the sky.
Yeah.
And so they didn't see the car that was there because all they saw was the blue of the sky, and they went and had an accident. I can't remember the details of that episode, but it was called Cerulean Blue. And so that makes me think of that too. And I also, in another book, you know, I think I've talked about Julie Garwood before. She, my favorite romance novel. I started with her back when I was really, really young, before I had children.
Yeah.
And she wrote The Bride, which is my favorite book of hers. And in that book, the male character, the love interest, was talking about the main character, female's eyes. And it's like, there's blue and then there's blue, because her eyes were an intense, almost purple blue.
Purpley blue. Yeah.
And he didn't know how to describe her otherwise, other than, you know, there's blue, but there's blue.
Right.
But
right.
That made me think of that too.
Yeah. As you were talking about examples, I also thought of one, the anthology series on Netflix, Love, Death, and Robots.
There's
an episode on there called Zima Blue, and it's just about this blue color that he was trying to, he became obsessed with it. This artist became obsessed with this color, Zima Blue. And it was because it was the color of the pool that he had, you guys should go watch it, but he became obsessed with this color, and it was about the color blue. And he became so obsessed that he just did, you know, he kept building and building upon his creations until it became this out of this world, thing and he became so famous for it and blah, blah, blah. But you guys should go watch it. It's really good.
That is cool. I don't think I've seen that. Was that in season one?
Season one. Yeah.
I saw season one, so I must have seen it. I don't remember.
Yeah. But blue is also the most common favorite color. Like if you ask someone their favorite color, there's a pretty good chance they're going to say blue. Not a lot of, not 100% of the time, obviously. You know, it tends to draw people in and people typically enjoy the color blue.
Is that your favorite color?
It sure is not.
Okay.
I get made fun of for my favorite color because it's
so do I. What's yours?
Brown.
Yeah. Mine's storm cloud gray. People are like, what?
Yeah.
So I get made fun of too.
I like the color brown because it's such a warm and cozy color, like the color of, you know, hardwood floors, the color of whiskey, the color of, you know, mm-hmm. It's just such a warm,
that rich,
cozy
warm
color. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I love it. It's my favorite thing.
I love
and people are just like, what?
The storm cloud gray is like think about when you go up into the mountains in the fall to look at the colors, which right now in Georgia, it's peak color up in the mountains, supposedly.
Yeah.
Don't know. I'm in court all week.
Yeah.
But when it's stormy and gray behind them, that just brings out that color. It's just, I love that. I love that storm cloud gray, maybe because of how it makes all the other colors look.
Makes all the other colors pop. There's a good contrast to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe we can do symbolism for gray and brown next time.
Okay.
All right. So what does the color blue typically mean? What does it usually symbolize? So blue represents the healing nature of water and mm-hmm. the power of stormy seas.
Okay.
So kind of get your storm in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's what separates bodies of land from one another, obviously, because you've got the ocean, which is a massive body of water that is typically blue or seen as blue,
mm-hmm.
Just because of how it reflects the color of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marker of loyalty and fidelity, which I did not know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw that it represents cleanliness, trust, loyalty, faith, truth. You remember the book? Oh gosh. Number four was the fourth book, Divergent.
I don't know what that means.
Divergent and
yeah.
whatever all those are.
Oh, it was the candor.
Yes. Honesty. Yeah. Honesty
yeah.
and truth was
yeah.
blue. Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. You're not wrong. I didn't remember that.
I didn't until just now, which is why I didn't remember what the name was.
Yeah.
But also stability and heraldry, mm-hmm. you know, like the coat of arms, blue symbolizes piety and sincerity.
Okay.
And it is considered a masculine color.
Which I guess is why they'd use, I mean, like if you think baby blue, you know, if you dress your baby in blue, it's typically
a
boy.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Typically a boy. But yeah, I think it's kind of funny that colors have gender, but whatever.
I know, right? Weird. Okay.
It's also the color of bravery and dedication. Blue represents introspective journeys and symbolizes wisdom and depth of understanding, which I thought was really cool.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Blue is also a symbol of depression, however, and it can also represent the depths of the human psyche. There are so many layers to the human, you know, the human psyche, how people think about things, how they consider things. And that kind of thing. Blue stands for serenity rather than passion. And it's the color of all that's constant and unchanging. So it's a very like calming color.
I agree with that serenity. I see blue as serene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then you were talking about aqua under green, but I have some stuff for aqua under blue. And it's actually the same thing that I was thinking of, the aqua and turquoise found in the Caribbean waters,
mm-hmm.
Typically engender positive feelings. So well, exactly what we were talking about for green.
How can you not have positive feelings when you're in the Caribbean? I mean,
true.
Come on.
True. It's also representative of protection and then bravery and loyalty, like we said before. And it's associated with peaceful rest and profound insight and spiritual realization. So like that's kind of brings in the wisdom aspect of this color.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to like paint bedrooms blue. Blue is a good color for bedrooms as opposed to red or orange, which is a active color.
Yeah. I locked my girlfriend out, so I got to go let her in.
Okay.
So people also use the color blue. I'm just going to jump right back into it.
Yes.
So people also use the color blue in professional areas, and they typically use it to carry connotations of like stability, wisdom, and serenity. So like if you painted your office blue, or if you painted like your home blue or whatever, you're trying to get across the feelings of stability, of calmness, of peace.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was researching this, they also brought in the color indigo, which you kind of mentioned earlier with the eyes.
Indigo. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I feel like it's a lot of purple involved in that as well. Like you were talking about with your example. So the deep indigo of stormy seas can carry more threatening and frightening associations. And can also make us feel settled, unsettled, or afraid of secrets deeply held. So that's a really good way to incorporate that into your novel.
I agree with that. I think indigo is a great way to portray secrets. That would be great to use when you're trying to get across secrets, I think, in a book.
Absolutely. Because I mean, if you think about like, if blue is the color of wisdom and spirituality and communication and like all that kind of stuff, and then you've got indigo, which is this deeper blue, like this darker blue, then I could absolutely see it. Yeah. Being about secrets. Overuse of the color blue, however, can feel cold and impersonal and even unfriendly. So it can start to feel a little bit like standoffish, I suppose, like a good standoffish color.
Okay.
Blue's association with depression and sadness are also pretty pervasive. So I talked about how it is representative of the human psyche and depression. And that gets used a lot in symbolism throughout literature. You know, you have The Lion King as one example where, you know, Simba was sad after his father had been killed, and Timon and Pumbaa come up on him. And, you know, Timon's like, man, he's looking blue. And, you know, Pumbaa's like, you know, I'd say brownish and gold. And he's like, no, I mean, he's depressed.
Great like line.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's one example of the color blue being used as a symbol for sadness.
That's true.
Yeah. And then also deep blue is a harbinger of night and darkness. You think of this deep blue sky as the sun is starting to set.
Yeah. You can use it to show the coming, something bad might be coming. You can use that deep blue to move that direction. Or even if you're using it for your character arc to show the falling into despair, that dark blue might be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a good summary of blue is that the positive attributes are like stability, harmony, and trust. You know, the sea and the sky, all things heavenly.
Yeah.
The negative, like you said, depression and coldness. And then think of these idioms, true blue, which means loyal.
Oh, that's true. That's a good example.
And then, like you said, the blues, feeling depression and the music, the blues.
The music. Yes. Definitely. So like I did with green, I found the chakras that these colors are associated with. So blue is the color of the throat chakra, also known as Vishuddha. This chakra is located in the throat and is linked to the throat, neck, hands, and arms. It's connected with speech and hearing and encourages spiritual communication. So, you know, self-reflection, wisdom, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The color indigo is the color of the brow or the third eye chakra, also known as ajna, which I am probably pronouncing that wrong. So I apologize.
Okay.
The chakra is located between the eyebrows and is our link to the universal unconsciousness. So opening this chakra can aid in clear sight, intuition, integrity, and lessens feelings of despair, which I thought was interesting because indigo was also, you know, the you know, color of secrets. So interesting, you know,
it is.
I think it speaks to how variable colors can be and how they can influence your views of something.
Mm-hmm.
So how does blue affect us physically? So kind of like what I did for green, I found, you know, what does it do to our brain? How does it, you know, affect our body by being around so much of that color?
Okay.
So there's a reason we think of blue as relaxing. It lowers our heart rate, blood pressure, and even our body temperature. Blue can have an effect on the pituitary gland, affecting our sleep patterns, and it can also slow our breathing. So it's a very calming color.
Huh.
Studies of memory have demonstrated that memory is enhanced by blue light, and blue light can even kill some bacteria.
Sounds like I need to paint our house blue.
But don't do too much, because then it'll be cold.
That's true. Maybe just the bedroom.
There you go.
Now, have you ever heard of something called blue comedy?
I have not.
It is a humorous entertainment that ranges from bordering on indelicacy all the way to gross indecency. It's like there's another word for it, but I can't think of it right now. Blue comedy is referred to as bodiness or being body, which I thought was funny. B-A-W-D-Y, body.
Yeah, yeah.
B-O-D-Y. Yeah. There's another word for it. It starts with an R and I can't remember of it. It used to be on vaudeville, or, you know, they would go on stage and this body, B-A-W-D-Y comedy that was kind of raunchy. That's another word for it. But it's called blue comedy, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
I don't know.
I wonder how it started becoming called blue comedy. That's interesting.
I don't know, but there are the blue laws that were passed that were supposed to be morality laws, like no drinking and all of that. So I'm wondering if it was a play on that because it was indecent, you know.
That's true. That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Fascinating. That's all I have for both of those colors.
Me too.
Awesome. I do have an interview question for you really quick.
Okay.
Can you think of a time that you've used the colors green or blue when you're writing? And it's a very specific question, but I figured it was a good one.
So not on purpose.
Yeah.
Being a panster, I'm not that ingenious when it comes to that. But what I did do after I talked to you today was I went and searched in frickin' fairies for the word green.
Oh, okay.
And I found that I associate that word green with the fae all the way through the book. I had no idea.
Interesting.
And the blue color I associated with Beck. So humanity versus fae.
Well, and then also think about, you know, if green is the color of, you know, it's invigorating and exciting, and then blue is calm, you know, think of your fairies. They're nutcases very high energy, and Beck is the one who's like, okay, hold on, wait, let's hang on a second. That's awesome. So, that's really
isn't
cool.
That funny. I had no idea. I was like, well, let's search it and see. So
super funny. Interesting.
What about you?
Let's see. Yeah, so I for my MacBook, she uses illusions a lot. Mm-hmm. And she uses a lot of water illusions.
She does.
So a lot of blues, but she also uses a lot of just nature illusions in general. So a lot of green. So she gets both of those.
Okay.
Quite a bit. And then I was trying to think, you know, in Louis and Delaney, Orisa's color. So I'm not going to explain too much about what that means, but each character has a color in Delaney's eyes, and his color is navy blue. So this very deep, dark blue. Yeah.
Secrets.
Yeah, exactly.
And going to the mysterious.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Exactly. And I did think about colors. I think about colors a lot with that book specifically because of color symbolism and what each color would mean for the character.
I wondered if you had done that on purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And because Delaney is yellow and, I think Louie is a light purple. Is what she is. So,
all right. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I've also got a sentence challenge for you guys who are interested in participating in that. Mm-hmm. So what the sentence challenge is I give you the sentence and you use it somewhere in a piece of work that either you're working on or you create a new work. It's essentially a sentence prompt, but you have to use the sentence somewhere in your work. So this week's is, her eyes were blue in color, though green with envy.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Before we get to the outro, I do want to give a shout out to our newest patron, Michelle. Thank you so much. And of course, thank you for Deanna and Jen, who have been our patrons, and we could not do this without you. We really, really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. I'm the outro again. Yes.
Yeah, you're the outro.
Wonderful. you know, if I can speak. thank you guys so much for listening. We have a really great time doing this. I'm bad at it this week. I don't know that I'm ready for it this week. If you're interested in finding any of our information, you can go to our website at eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. You'll find all of our social media there. We've got Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all that good stuff. All of that is on our website. Including our Patreon, which we just were talking about. So patreon.com/EDW.
Yeah.
I'm bad at it today, guys. Sorry about it. but the best way to get into contact with us is by our email. So eat.drink.write.podcast@gmail.com. So we would love to read your sentence challenges. We'd love to read any excerpts that you want to send us. We'd love to discuss writing. We love hearing from you guys. I know we really enjoy reading all of your YouTube comments and all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. So
I'm really excited to hear what you guys are doing for NaNoWriMo month.
Yeah.
I want to hear how you all are doing. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let us know. We would love to discuss. We obviously enjoy talking. So, but thank you guys for listening.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.